Blog Talk Radio.
Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you're listening to the Ooze with your host, Venger Satanis, and the Beast.
Thanks for tuning in. I'm Beast Zeno, and this is my co-host, Venger Satanis. Venger, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing good, yep. I'm in the tentacle-loving temple, the mother-loving house and whatnot. Yeah, I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, man. I'm actually driving a fucking green machine as we speak.
Cool. I'm driving as well. I'm driving away from downtown Madison, which is celebrating its annual Mifflin Street Block Party, which is basically a whole drunken weekend of debauchery and yelling and really bad music and just college-age shenanigans.
Awesome. Sounds like a blast.
For them, yeah, cleaning up after those little bastards, not really my ideal Saturday morning, but my parents are still on vacation, and I told them I'd help them out, so yeah. But hey, last night was Walpurgisnacht, so I'm interested to hear what you did, as well as anyone who wants to call in and talk to us. Tell us what you did on Walpurgisnacht last night, May Eve, Beltane, and Be Zeno, tell us what you did, if anything.
Well, I worked till I worked till 9 o'clock last night, which meant I didn't get home till about 10. Shortly after my girlfriend fell asleep, though, I spent the evening in some strange meditation rituals.
Excellent.
Yeah, I thought it was actually quite relaxing. My life's been packed full of stress lately, so it was nice to really spend some quality time in meditation.
Yeah. What kind of meditation, just like clearing your mind, like de-stressing meditation, or was it more like active, like astral travel, like peering through dimensions, like meditation, or what?
Actually, no, it was, there were a couple of things, actually. I came up with this idea that I could do like an astral-type travel and at the same time observe myself. And so I was trying to maintain two points of consciousness at the same time. And I managed to do that for about 15 minutes, but it's very, very, very difficult.
That's awesome. Yeah, I imagine it is difficult. I mean, I haven't meditated in a while. I should try to get back to that. But, you know, with the fourth way work that both of us do, you know, I know that it is difficult to manage that, to have two different perspectives going at the same time, watching yourself and watching something else, the outside world or focusing on something externally. Well, that's good.
Right.
So after the meditation, did you do anything else, or did you come away with any kind of revelation?
Yeah, actually, there were a couple of really cool things that came out of it. As you well know, I've been experimenting with inducing certain states of consciousness using vibration or frequency as like a snap point. Well, I've been trying to set the first level of my meditation to the frequency of 440 megahertz, which is the note A. And that note seems to work. I seem to be able to get right to that first point and at the same time maintain an observation of both my physical being and what's actually happening with the spiritual body. I think it's really very cool, and I believe that this may lead to future experiments and try to do more separations and see how many separations I can actually maintain.
Yeah, definitely. Cool.
Just so you know, we got Ego Diabolos hanging out in the chat room.
Oh, great.
So it should be interesting. And Starlight's here too. So it's starting off as a good day.
Yeah, since we're both on the road, but I know you're monitoring the switchboard and whatnot. So if someone does call in, you're there.
I can see it. They just got to hang on the line for a few minutes because I can only switch back and forth between the screens every so often without diverting my attention from safely driving.
Okay. Well, we'll see what happens. But, hey, cool. People are listening in and in the chat room and whatnot. Some people might be disappointed to hear that I had a very low-key night last night. But really, I was celebrating more or less a whole week's worth of spending time with my new woman, my emerald woman, I guess you would say. And she's pretty much my girlfriend now, I guess. So that's kind of a huge deal because, as you know, BCNO, I've been without such a thing for, like, I don't know, like 10 months or something. And, in fact, we started talking, like, right after that when I wasn't really in the mood to deal with cult business or take on new projects or anything like that, because I was just focusing on, like, well, not only getting laid, but, finding a companion and a relationship and stuff like that. And now, finally, it's all seemed to speedily come to fruition, and it's all happening kind of fast for all the time it took. So that's what I did. We watched a movie, which was fucking god-awful. The new movie that's on DVD's stores now is called The Box. It's based on a Richard Matheson story. It stars Frank Langella and Cameron Diaz. And what's the other guy? James Marsden. I get his name confused sometimes with Spike from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. But, oh my God, that movie sucked ass. It was fucking horrible. So if you see The Box in your video store, do not rent it. If no one's looking, put it on the ground and then step on it sharply, breaking the disc into shiny, fabulous pieces, like as many as you can, because it sucked so much ass. It was just awful. But anyway, Danielle and I, we watched that movie, and we also had some pizza and just spent some quality time with each other and visited some friends that were doing some ritual stuff in his backyard with a bonfire. So that was cool. So we touched base with them, but, yeah, it was just very low-key, you know. Basically, I was just enjoying the fruits of my magical labor that I've been doing for the last few months. I finally come to a point where I've created the result for myself that I have been searching for. So I just kind of wanted to sit back and enjoy it.
Absolutely nothing wrong with that.
That's what I think. I can't always be expected to, like, do massive rituals and, like, tear down the sky and explode the moon and, you know, all sorts of crazy shit. And, of course, last night was the 5th-year anniversary of the birth of the Cthulhu cult.
Yeah, that in itself is a huge feat.
Yeah. I mean, 5 years, it's been an endeavor. You know, we've been through a bunch of shit and come out on top. So I'm excited for the next 5 years.
Not to change the subject, really, but do you think that your discovery of Danielle has anything to do with Florette?
You know what? Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all. I think a combination of Florette and as I told you, I had planned to actually go to the Ukraine and find a or pick out like a Russian mail order bride sort of thing, and then, you know, start a correspondence and a relationship from there, and get her over here, and then, you know, get her like a fiance visa and whatever. So basically, I was ready to you know, I was desperate times called for desperate measures. I was doing whatever I could to, you know, to get around a certain situation. And for whatever reason, there are certain laws in the universe that if you do that, if you try to go around and you get far enough, then the universe is like, okay, fine, you win. You're... will is obviously stronger than my desire to shut you down. So I'll give you what you've been asking for all this time. That's just how the world works, I think. Just like parents that adopt a kid because they haven't, like, let's say they've been trying for 5 years or something and they haven't had any success with having children. As soon as they adopt a kid, boom, like 6 months or a year later, a woman becomes pregnant. It's just like when you don't need it, like, boom, there it is.
Right, but when you need it, absolutely not. I think that's congruent with, you know, the concept that everybody suffers.
Yes. Yeah, you take the pressure off. And when the pressure is off, then for some reason the universe decides that, you know, it's gonna focus on some other douchebag that really wants something and going to keep that thing from him. And it's going to ignore you. And if it ignores you enough, then, you know, your will prevail and, you know, you put enough energy into something and you'll get out of it, whatever you put in, and you'll be able to actually have results. So whatever you can do to go around a problem, take the pressure off, find the third side. Find a different solution. Just do what you can, and eventually, over time, you know, it'll work. You'll get what you want, I think.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'm sure other people have things in their life that shit has worked out that way. And if possible, it'd be nice if people either call in or email us about it or post it on the forum. You know. Cthulhu Cult Forum has been hopping lately. I encourage everybody to go on there and communicate, because that's like our main communications network, is that forum.
I agree. That's the heart of the Cthulhu Cult.
Yeah.
You can see quite a bit of information there and quite a bit of perspective. I would venture to say that you could learn more from 3 hours of just reading posts there than you could from reading 5 or 6 books.
Yeah. I agree. At least a half dozen threads or something. I mean, right there, that's worth, you know, a whole occult tome worth of information. Or at least it gets you thinking on the right terms and the right track. So.
Yeah, I guess everything's, you know, pretty smooth as of lately. This is the third open discussion we're holding, and the final one until sometime in the future. We're going to hit a nice series of topics coming here soon.
That's right. Probably not in, I think in May, Zandora LaVey is kind of booked up, but she said probably the month after, which is, what, June? Yeah.
June, yeah.
So I'm sorry, June, Zandor LaVey wants to do our show and come on and talk to us. Zach from, what is it, Satanism International?
Yeah, Satanic International, yeah.
Okay, yeah, he wants to come on, and so sometime in the next few weeks he'll probably be on. Still got to talk to the guy from Unquiet Void, and who else? I thought there was one or two other people that we had tentatively lined up.
There are, but I can't remember who they are.
Yeah, they'll come to us, or we'll just invite new people. I don't know, something. I'm sure Ego Diabolus will grace us with his unholy presence. Ow, I just bit my tongue. With his unholy presence in the near future. So that'll also be an exciting show, because he's awesome and knows what the fuck he's talking about.
Not
like that.
Me?
No, I was thinking about a fairly recent presence on the forum that you and I both know who we're talking about.
Right? Well, if you ask me, I think we should crush him out of existence, but that's just my take on it.
I've got a soft spot for people that may want to learn something or do the right thing or work with us, so I give them the benefit of the doubt. Not once or twice, but usually three times. And then after that, if they still fuck me over, then... or turn their back on us. And then at that point, I'm like, whatever, you had your chance, fuck you. Either get out of our way or we'll annihilate you.
Interesting. So, as of lately, I've been really heavily studying Sun Tzu's Art of War, and I think that, the book applies to so much more than it's used for already. Just the kind of logic that's posted in there, it could be very easily a way to govern a body of individuals, some form of an organization. It could be easily be a method of observing information, just actually through the processes that it offers, and the logics that it offers. It makes it it kind of gives you a scale to balance things on. I think that's actually really been the height of my reading as of lately. Yesterday I completed reading it for the third time, and I had taken notes this time throughout the whole thing, and apparently I took about 20 pages worth of notes.
Nice.
Yeah, and it's typed notes too.
Fuck.
What's that?
That's a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot. And the book itself is only 160 pages.
God damn it. You took 20 pages of notes. That's impressive.
Yeah. But 20 pages, and I pretty much condensed everything that was of relevance to me. And,
right.
And it's actually hopefully going to contribute to the next section of my book. So.
Oh, excellent.
I think a fusion of that and human psychology will be the present theme of the next section of the book. So,
yeah. Well, I've been sounds great. I've been delving into there's this this guy's blog or website. I know these days the two are kind of interchangeable. I think it's leangains.com or leangains blogspot something. I don't know. Martin, his last name starts with a B, I think. Anyway, he's a Swedish nutritionist, personal trainer guy, and he's coming out with this new book on intermittent fasting. And he also outlines sort of a minimalist training, like weight training program. And I've been really taken with that because it kind of meshes with, the Warrior Diet stuff that I've been experimenting and playing around with and things like that. So I'm going to be trying it out on myself and seeing how it goes, because I've kind of hit another plateau. So I really want to, try to up the intensity and get even more results. And I think this is the next big thing. So I've been reading all about that, and I'm going to be taking the plunge. I mean, I'm doing it right now. I've been only on it for a few days, so we'll see.
Interesting. Coming up here in just a few minutes, there's going to be a little bit of a transition period as I try to haul my ass into an air-conditioned building. So,
good time.
Yeah, yay. Yeah, I got this open laptop. I've got a cooler bag with drinks in it. Got the laptop bag, the phone to carry. I'm going to be juggling for a few minutes.
You know what you want to do? You want to put the phone right on top of the laptop and then pour your cold drinks right on top of that.
Yeah, actually, I wouldn't so much mind it, except for I wouldn't be able to continue the show.
No, that was a joke.
I got that, and that was kind of my dry rebuttal, so.
I know. You foiled me with your dryness.
Yes. Well, I am originally from Ohio, man, so. You know, that dry humor, unfortunately, is infectious.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
So, anyway, we've got some people hanging out in the chat room, but nobody really saying anything. Any suggestions of things that they'd like possibly want us to talk about? Or they can call in. Let me give the call-in number. It's 347-989-1371.
I'm actually like 30 seconds away from pulling in my driveway, so I will be on the switchboard in like about 2 minutes. So if anyone's doing anything and wants to call in, I will be there to talk to you or whatever, pick up the slack. So it's all good.
All right.
Give the beast a little break if you need it.
I saw a little website, and I can't remember the web address for the life of me yesterday, but this guy apparently is very fascinated with horse chicken porn.
Horse chicken porn.
Horse
I did
chicken
hear that, right.
Porn. Yes,
okay.
Right, where the horse is actually
refreshingly
engaging
awful.
The chicken. Huh?
That sounds refreshingly awful.
Yes. Certainly not my idea of fun, but I definitely thought it was a wild fetish. You don't often, you hear of people being into bestiality, but you never really realize that they're that deeply into bestiality.
Well, they're watching horses and chickens fuck each other. Yeah, that's a new low or high, depending on how sick you are or that you want to be. I mean, hey, people are crazy sometimes, and like weird-ass perverted shit, so, I mean, I like kind of fucked up stuff too sometimes, but not horses and chickens. That's a little bit beyond the pale.
Ego.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey. What up?
Not much. I thought since this is going to be the last open show for a while that I better call in and get in on it, lend my whatever I got to offer today to the show's material. So,
good stuff.
You guys were talking about Lapergastock last night. Did a little live chat thing on the Cult of Cthulhu website. And we had one other member show up. Basically, all we did was talk about our experiences with the work, what we're doing, what we're running into, the kind of things that we see as beneficial that we're were gaining, the kind of things that we're kind of struggling with. So it was insightful and also kind of very reassuring, because it was the gentleman I was speaking with was running into a lot of the same experiences that I'm running into with the work. His background is in music, so he's an artist. He so he kind of, you know, he's struggling a lot with a lot of the same thought processes and a lot of the same mechanical processes that I've been struggling with. And it was just kind of cool to hear another perspective directly from somebody else. So
that is cool.
That was fun. Had myself a nice prime rib dinner last night, and got a little drunk afterwards, and so celebrated Walpurgisnacht in a nice Anton LaVey fashion, and had a good time. Settled in with my girlfriend, watched a movie, and ended up just staying home. So
yeah,
still very cool.
Exactly like what I did. What movie did you watch?
We watched last night The Duchess, which is a historical period piece with Ralph Fiennes, I think the guy's name is. It ended up being not that great a movie. Yeah, it was kind of, it was interesting, I guess. I'm into historical pieces, but it wasn't on the level of, definitely not like Gladiator or Troy or anything like that, and not even like as good as Elizabeth. But still, it was all right. Probably not as good as The Box.
Oh my God! Yeah, I was going to ask if you had heard about that. That was so stupid. And you know, the type of thing where they try to bring in all these like weird things. And, I mean, it's like you could tell they made it from a book, because it's like some people looking at the script have read it. Some people probably haven't. And maybe the director has, maybe the producer hasn't, and everybody's throwing all these ideas and like, oh, it worked on the story, so let's throw this in too, without really a mind for, you know, how it fits together with the rest of the story and what the audience is going to think with, you know, watching it in the cinema instead of reading it, you know. It just, it sucked ass, so much ass.
So the writer and director said, we got a budget of about $300,000 and we've got nothing to do with it. Let's party.
Right. I think if people are limited to a certain amount of money, like $300,000 or something, I think you can make a phenomenal kick-ass movie. I think it's when they have too much money. It just, I don't know, it goes to their head. Like they think, oh, why don't we add a 15th writer onto, you know, our collaboration project, because we have it in the budget. You know, and my nephew needs something to do for the next month. Like, oh my God, are you serious? You're fucking ruining the movie now. Anyway, so.
Well, cool.
So,
does this qualify as the worst movie you've ever seen?
Oh, but no. No, because there were times where I'm like, you know, if they did everything else right up from this point, they could probably almost save it, you know, and make it decent. But so there were points like that where I'm like, you know what, it's not all that awful if they start steering the ship around right now. But they never did. They just made it worse and worse as time went on. So, no, it definitely isn't the worst movie I've ever seen. I don't even know what the worst movie I've ever seen would be.
Yeah, that's a good question.
That is good. I mean,
Error
you talk about something like People from Seattle, or, you know, something that's the ultimate, like, chick flick, like Fried Green Tomatoes or something like that, or do you go with something that is within your genre of interest, but just did everything so wrong that it's an abomination of everything you love? Like, where do you go? You know,
I would be inclined to think the latter.
I'm reading both of those. The latter? Okay, well, I think it's pretty subjective. It's, you know.
My worst film is definitely Terror Tunes. That has to be the worst piece of shit I have ever seen.
What?
Just, you get the, Yeah, you get the gist of the movie within the first, 15 seconds, and the rest of it just you're waiting for it to end. You're either waiting for it to end or for you to die, one or the other. Yeah, whichever one would be a sweet relief.
That's funny. I see you put something in the chat room about Plan 9 from Outer Space, which I've heard from many people, especially years ago, that was considered by many to be the worst movie ever made. But really, if anyone has seen Plan 9 from Outer Space recently, it's really, I would say, definitely a cut above your usual, like, direct-to-video or direct-to-DVD crap fest science fiction horror abomination. Planet 9 from Outer Space at least has character. At least it tries. And at least it does have a story that makes sense. It's got some sort of, charisma or panache or influence or something. Whereas a lot of these movies, they're just abysmal. There's no redeeming feature at all. So I would definitely not say Planet 9 from Outer Space is the worst movie ever, because in comparison, it's actually pretty decent.
Right. Well, in my opinion, the worst movie ever has to be that movie Man of War with Nicolas Cage in it.
You mean Lord of War?
Think that.
Yeah, Lord of War. That's it.
I
tried
you
to
didn't
watch
like that
it.
Movie?
Probably, no, I did not. I tried to watch it. 20 times, man, and I could never get past about 10 minutes of it, and I was out cold sleeping.
Huh.
That bored.
Yeah.
I would even try starting, from the spot that I last saw or remember seeing, and that didn't help it any either.
Yeah.
I've got nothing really to say that's redeeming about Lord of War. I did enjoy it, but not enough to go, you're wrong. But I can see what you're saying. I can see where it could kind of be kind of slow and kind of boring. But I get into history period pieces too, So I enjoyed the Al Pacino Merchant of Venice, which everybody else I've talked to that's seen it kind of found it tedious and dry. But I dug it. I thought there were a lot of good. There was a lot of good acting. They had a lot of high-powered stars in that movie. So I don't know. Different perspective.
What's that one? Something of Venice.
The Merchant of Venice. It's a Shakespearean play, and it's Al Pacino, Jeremy Irons, couple of young heavy stars. I want to say I don't know if it's Gwyneth Paltrow or. Other person was or whatever, but if you like Shakespeare and enjoy period pieces, because the language is Shakespearean, it's it's definitely worth seeing. But a lot of people aren't into that, so it's kind of dry for people that aren't into it.
Buyer beware.
I
do like period things too. I'll even go see some sort of Jane Austen movie with my mom. Because she likes that, and a small part of me likes that kind of stuff too, even though the rest of me is like, wow, you're a big girl, you should just take your bra and go home, dude. But you get period romances and the whole drama and Jane Austen stuff, I can like that sometimes. It's not the first thing I go to put in my DVD player, but I'll watch some of that sometimes. That's fine. Sometimes it's even good if it's well done. It's cool because it's period. You get to see a different historical period and people dressed up in costumes and different customs and stuff like that. But I don't know. Yeah, I like period stuff, so I could see myself watching Merchant of Venice or something like that.
Right on.
Well, I think we're boring the death out of our audience, though, guys, because our chat room's kind of too lighter.
Yeah, I know. Oh well. Hey, they could spice it up by saying, "Hey, Vendor, you're an asshole, and here's why."
and like just before the show, and then I'd be like, "What? How dare they? Let me spend an hour defending myself," or I don't know, something of that
right,
nature.
Right.
No, yeah. Your name's not Paul Valentine, dude.
What's that?
So your name's not Paul Valentine.
Yeah. I'm good.
Sorry, I got
what a great guy.
Yeah, what a wonderful guy. What he doesn't realize is the Satanic Bible is just a fucking novel.
The Satanic Bible is just a fucking novel. Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Sorry, I promised myself I would never go into that, but I couldn't resist.
Yeah, it's okay. He's kind of a tool, and it bears tinkering with and bringing out of the closet every once in a while. But it's funny, the subjectivity of movies and what people have as their favorite movies and their least favorite. I know when Xandora LeVay is on the show, like in a month or so from now, I am definitely going to get into exactly why she does not care for The Thing, you know, from the 80s, directed by John Carpenter, starring Kurt Russell. What the fuck? Because, as most people probably know, someone put a gun to my head and made me speak like my favorite movie of all time, it would be The Thing. And she didn't really care for it, she said. She thought it was, like, boring or whatever. I just don't get that, because any time that something doesn't, like, directly happen to the characters or isn't going on, it's, like, so suspenseful and, like, building up to something and just creepy and atmospheric and, you know, character-driven and the music alone. I don't get that, but so I want to get into that. I know other people probably think that one of my other favorites, like Prince of Darkness, is a bunch of crap, but fuck if I don't love that movie, Prince of Darkness. I'm all about that.
Being a B-movie fan myself, especially a late 80s, early 90s B-movie fan, I happen to hold deep favor for that movie as well.
Yeah? Yeah. Why not?
The Thing is definitely on my favorite list as well. So, but it's about pacing, too. Some people can appreciate pacing, that a movie that it builds towards something, that it's, you know, it's about, just like you're saying, the pauses in action create suspense. Some people get that,
right.
They can dig it, and some people need something that's always going off, always keeping, you know, keeping it moving or what have you, and, I mean, to each their own, but, yeah, The Thing is definitely, she's in the minority on the when it comes to The Thing, but most people hail The Thing as one of the great movies of all time as far as horror movies are concerned.
I think so, and every once in a while, you get people that have a strong opinion about a movie, you get them to see it again. Like, let's say I haven't seen it for 10 years, and who knows what the circumstances were. Maybe they were high on weed, and maybe they were drinking. Maybe they were with a couple of friends that thought it was stupid because they just couldn't appreciate it. And you watch it again, and you're like, oh, my God, this does rock. And, you know, so it's cool when you can do that, too. Yeah. That reminds me, I got to go out back on the forum and I got to make it ad-free again by donating my $7. So hopefully other people will do that too, and we can keep.
I was actually going to do that, but I couldn't figure out the checkout process.
Oh, okay.
So, and I consider myself to be a fairly bright guy, but it's just confusing as to where you need to go to do that.
Yeah, a little bit. I've done it before, I guess. That's how, I mean, normally I'm the one that gets confused about shit, so. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened with you.
probably just overwork. I've been racking my brain really hard day in and day out. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's not unusual now for you to find my tennis shoe in the refrigerator. So, it's getting to be pretty bad. I guess that's the burden of madness.
Yeah.
But, madness. Indeed. There's let me see, there's about 19 minutes left in the show. I'm curious, have either of you gentlemen got any new artwork going?
I'm wrapping up my flash set. By God, that thing will be finished this weekend. Okay.
Woohoo!
So I've got the last few drawings I need to finish up. The painting needs to get started. I got the watercolors out. Once I wrap that up, I'm working on a revision of the Baphomet Codex. I've already gone through the re-edit. I've gone through and added the additional material, and what I wanted in this one was more illustrations. So I'm doing a series of I want to do a series of Baphomet studies. I've kind of started that, and then after that, I've been picking up a lot of Michael Manning artwork. He's into bondage arts and real heavy black and white images. And I really dig his style, so I'm leaning back into that again, and doing my own thing with bondage art, inspired by this guy. So got a full plate as far as art stuff's concerned.
Awesome. So I'm curious about this flash set. Is the set themed?
Each page has a theme. I kind of did that with my original flash set. But the big difference between this set and the original set I did is the original set was done prior to my becoming a tattoo artist, prior to my going into, you know, an apprenticeship and learning, you know, really the ins and outs of tattooing. So this new set has all that experience packed into it, basically, that the images are designed more for tattooing than they are for graphic art. So there's like in my last set, and this some people will be disappointed by this, in my last set, I think every page had a nude woman on it. I think in this set, I think it's 7 pages, and there's only 1 page where there's a nude in it. Everything else is other tattoo stuff. So, cool. It'll be more marketable, hopefully.
Cool. Although I'm all about naked women, too. I mean,
yeah.
That's good stuff.
Interesting.
So,
that's cool. Well, I've actually, as you know, I've been, you know, elbow and knees deep in either Cthulhu Cult business or working on this book. So all actual artwork production has come to a complete halt. Hopefully I'll get some time in the future here where I just say, okay, fuck it, this is what I'm doing today.
Yeah.
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 What about you, Avenger?
Yeah, I haven't done any painting in a while. I haven't done any writing in a little while either, just posts on the forum and stuff. But you know what? Most of my latest paintings have been abstract, and it doesn't really, I mean, it's cool and I like it, and other people like it too, but it's not really cult related, you know, because, you know, people see it and they don't automatically identify, like, oh my God, Cthulhu or tentacles or boobies or, you know, whatever. So it seems separate from, like, cult things. And ideally, it would be great to merge the artwork and the cult stuff together. So maybe I'll try doing some less abstract and more representational stuff. But usually that kind of stuff doesn't turn out the way I want, because I'm not that great of an artist, I guess. But, yeah, we'll try. So, perhaps I'll give it a whirl, and we'll see what happens.
Alright, well, I think the thing about art is the more you practice and the more you work at it, the better you become. So, anybody who can put anything on an external surface and it somewhat reflect what was in their imagination as a better artist than not. At least that's my take on it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Someday I'll be able to do just that. Someday.
I've actually, when I have been working on pieces, I've been trying to create this field of depth. It's really what I've been working on is trying to make things really deep in appearance. And I don't know if if I've had many successes yet, but I'm aiming for that. So.
Well, cool. Right on. Trying to create an image that draws people into it. They actually have to take a look at what's going on inside it rather than just see what's on the surface and go, oh, there it is. It's a demon girl or whatever.
Right. Yeah, so, I mean, that stuff's always cool, but, you know, I want myself to be more of a an Escher or a Dolly type individual over whatever you want to call it. The dude who did Peanuts, I can't remember his name at the moment.
Charles Schultz?
Yeah, Schultz, that's it.
Right on.
That's it. I mean, not that his work's not great, but I think that type of work just complements my own personality.
Right on.
You know, the deeper stuff. So.
Right.
That's really what I've been working on. I started this huge 22 by 24 inch poster, like 3 or 4 months now. And then I came to a point where I was trying to figure out how to draw a withered tree from the perspective that I was doing it at. And that just kind of stuck me up ever since then. And I haven't gone back to it.
Huh. I used to tack up pieces of poster board like that large in a hallway in an apartment I was living in. And every time I'd walk past that image, whatever it was I was doing, I'd have an idea and I'd work on it for a little bit and get the general idea down. And then for months, literally, every time I walked past it, there was a pencil and eraser right there, and I would either draw something on it or erase something from it. I was always messing with it until I got just finally just sick of seeing it up there and took it down. But it was a really effective way of working on something because there was always something going on with it. And people would come over just to see what changes. Or what did you do to it? You know, can you see what I changed? Can you see what I didn't change? I was like some sort of a little party thing for them to come do. And I felt really used, I guess, now that I'm thinking about it. But there's a technique for you to help you work on your art.
That's interesting. The thing that I'm running into with that is that most people aren't really that interested in my artwork. they usually look at it like it's insane.
Yeah, I think most people just aren't interested in general just because, I don't know, people just don't care.
A lot of people just don't have that frame of reference. They don't come from a perspective where they can really value it. The art has to be, for a lot of people, art has to be, you know, very direct and very immediate. And even then, they look at it, they get it, and they move on. You know what I mean?
Right.
So the same people that are making art tend to be the people who really truly appreciate other people's artwork.
Right.
And we're a rare breed.
Yeah,
that we are.
Definitely agree.
I have to laugh because we don't normally have this much difficulty talking over each other, and today it seems to be a real constant. So that's a good thing. That means we all want to say something, but we're just not finding the right tempo.
Well, this show is unscripted.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Although I have toyed with the idea of doing a scripted show.
Oh, yeah?
Go ahead.
Do a scripted show that's a straight script, you know, where everybody reads the part and does their thing, and then do a scripted show where it's obvious it's scripted, you know, where you flub your lines, you intentionally read somebody else's piece. That'd be a good time.
Sure, that would be a lot of fun. I think it would be cool if we could find a Lovecraft story that's been made into a play and do the play.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Again, that sounds like a lot of work, but yeah, we could do that maybe. I don't know. I don't know if it would turn out well or it would be a crazy and stupid. I don't know. It just depends.
You could use your gift of ventriloquism, Venger, and play off different kinds of parts.
Yeah, as long as no one is looking at my mouth, I am an awesome ventriloquist. Ventriloquist.
Dude, you are, man. I mean, I believe in Pinky.
And Pinky believes in you. More than
Pinky's
you know.
A badass motherfucker.
Yeah, he is. For his sins.
You know what? We should have Pinky as a guest on our show in the future.
Yeah, you mentioned that. I don't know how awesome an idea that is, but maybe. Maybe.
I mean, what we could actually do even is, like, have a special guest on, say, Zandor LaVey, and me and Pinky will do a team interview.
Okay, yeah. That's an idea.
I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be her. However, I do think that she would have the most shock appeal.
You mean she would be shocked, or our listeners would be shocked and appalled at what we're doing to her?
I think that she would be shocked, and I think that our listeners would be even more shocked, yes.
Okay. Yeah, I think you're right. I agree.
I agree with that. No, you're not up for it.
I don't know. Maybe. Let me think it over. I don't know. I'm in a weird mood right now, so I could say anything, and a week from now I'd be like, what the fuck did I agree to? That's ridiculous.
Well, how about we do this instead? How about we take a vote? All of our listeners can just post a comment on this page saying they want, you know, Pinky to co-host with me or not.
Okay. Okay. If enough people, you know, make their voice heard, call in or write in or call in or whatever, sure.
I will submit to the will of the people.
I think it would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, might be. You never can tell.
Oh, you can't. Someone else we could possibly have on there is Uncle Gnarl Epithet. From the Green Trapezoid.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's a pretty bitter guy.
He is bitter.
Who's Uncle Gnarl Epithet?
The Uncle Gnarl Hotep's corner or angle at the last page on the Dream Trapezoid. He's got a bunch of little one-liners or whatever, little statements, his commentaries on the human condition. He doesn't think very much of us.
That's probably a good thing.
Either way, at least it would be fruitful to entertain it.
Yes.
No?
I think maybe once every month do some sort of bombastic, you know, dadaistic show where it's, you know, you're gonna listen in today, and, you know, usually the last 4 or 5 weeks we've been talking to people and tackling some serious subjects, and now you tune in and you have no idea what the hell is going on. You don't know who's hosting or what it is, but it's just all crazy. I think that'd be fun.
Yeah, we could do something fun like we've all abandoned Cthulhu and now we're in favor of like the flying spaghetti monster or something like that. And now we just
worship
them. We
should do a Christian evangelical show.
Yeah,
I could
certainly
full on Southern Baptist.
Then I could have my girlfriend's parents listen in and they wouldn't be appalled at what I'm talking about.
That's actually a pretty decent idea all by itself. I mean, I could definitely do a Tarvu show. Have you guys ever seen that website, tarvu.com, where they got all those videos of people saying it's so easy to join?
No. Never seen it.
No?
Internet's a big
place.
I don't get out that much.
It's just tarvu.com. It's the official internet website for the Tarvuist faith.
The Tarvuist faith, I see. That sounds like fun. Is it kind of like the subgenius, Bob Dobbs kind of church?
Sort of. It's very how do I explain it? It's very cult oriented.
That's cool.
And I don't mean specifically the Cthulhu cult, but the Tarvu is
the usual cult. Yeah.
Yeah, Tarvu is a tentacled god, though.
Oh, well, hey, that's something.
Yeah.
Maybe we can get some pointers from those guys.
Maybe. We could invite them on the show.
Yeah, that would be a crazy show, I think. Yeah, that would be ridiculous.
It's so easy to join.
Yeah, that's kind of creepy.
It's extremely creepy. You got to check it out, man.
Yeah. I think now that you talk about it, I have seen something like that. It was a while ago, maybe.
Yeah, I sent you a link for it months ago, like back in last October.
Then I have seen it. I know what you're talking about then.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that is creepy, and that is kind of cool. And yeah, maybe we should have them on our show. Funny.
So that's my mission. This week I'm going to try to make contact with the head of the Tarvuist faith and see if we can get them to appear on our show.
Sweet. Cool. Well, sometime this coming week I could make a new list of show topics that we're going to be doing, a schedule, if you like, and maybe posting it on YouTube on a video. So then people can take a look at the video and see what we're going to be talking about next Saturday and the Saturday after that, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. I actually toyed with the idea, and I don't know what you think of this, and we only got another 2 minutes on the air, but I'm going to throw it out there anyway. I toyed with the idea of actually both of us filming ourselves during one of the episodes of the use, and then me putting it together in video and then breaking it up into whatever number of parts it takes to upload it all to YouTube.
Yeah, I thought about that too. I don't know. Visually, I don't know how exciting it would be if we just filmed ourselves, because it would just be us sitting in a chair or in our car or standing somewhere talking to our phone. So I don't know. Maybe we should leave that up to our audience too. If anyone really, really wants to see that, let us know, and maybe we'll make it happen. Otherwise, fuck off. Not you.
Sure,
but the rest of our audience.
Right. I understand. I mean, I just, you know, maybe answer some questions. Does Venger wear a silk robe when he's doing the show? Does the Beast sit in his brassiere?
Are people ready for such knowledge? Are they prepared sufficiently for the end times and the crushing of sanity and bizarre answers?
Shock and awe, man. Shock and awe. All right, well, we are down to the last 45 seconds here, man. So I want to say thank you, and thank you, Ego, for coming out, man.
Yeah. I'm glad you came out, Ego Diabolos. Piece of relay. That was very decent of you to help us finish out the trinity of Anything Goes for the youth.
All right, well, thank you for having me.
No problem.
All right. And on that note, we'll catch you all next week. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for listening to the Ooze. Opinions expressed by our guests or callers do not necessarily reflect those held by Venture of Beast or any institution associated with us. The Ooze does not condone any illegal or unethical acts. If you have been offended during the production of the show, we're sorry, but as the old expression goes, tough luck. Thank you, and see you next week.